Well, since we've been in this series, this is rich. I've had a lot of people coming up to me and sharing different things. People coming up to me and saying, I am rich. And they really believe it. I mean, I believe that we're getting it. We're getting this subject. And they'll say, I am rich. And it's followed by a story of how they just really enjoyed giving or showing generosity to somebody. Or they'll say, I am rich. And they'll share a story about how God has provided for them a certain blessing or certain financial need that they needed that was met. Or maybe not even a need. Sometimes just a want. Something they wanted. And God provided a blessing there. And I received an email talking about how there were different things breaking down and going wrong, but this person paused and thought, you know, I got a roof over my head, I got running water, my belly's full, I am rich. And so I think we're getting it. In fact, I received a text, and in addition to a text, I received that we had one of our young men that plays bass would be willing to sing a Fiddler on the Roof if I were a rich man. All these different things, wouldn't that be fun? I found out that was a joke. It was the young man's parents that did it two separate times. So I went to the young man and I said, is this for real? Because the first one I thought, ah, that's a joke. Second one came down and I thought, they're serious. So I went up to this guy and he said, no, that's a joke. But really, it's been very encouraging for me, the response that's come back, and just how this has been something that we as a church have really embraced, that we are rich. And as we look at that, and some of you might have realized that you were rich years ago. Some of you might have realized that you were rich just months ago. Some of you, it was just 2 weeks ago. You'd never thought of yourself as rich until 2 weeks ago when we covered that topic in our first message in this series. And whether or not you learned it 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago or 2 years ago, there's a question that inevitably comes once you realize, I'm rich. And that question is, why? Why am I rich? You know, we saw that chart last week that compared the United States to, well, it was actually all the northwestern or the Western Hemisphere, and the United States had a huge bar on it, and Haiti had this little bitty bar. Why have I been blessed with riches, with financial riches, with wealth? And some of these people in these other countries have not been blessed in that way. Why? If that's not a question you have asked yet, it's a question we need to ask. Because once we realize we're rich, we should ask, why? What's going on here? Well, the Bible speaks very clearly to answer this question. If you'll flip your bulletins over to the sermon section, if you haven't already done that. Take a look there. Our first scripture this morning is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9, chapter 11. It says, you will be made what? Rich. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be what? Generous. That's the answer to our question. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to who? God. So we've been made rich so that we can be generous. We've been made rich so that we can be generous so that through our generosity, people will thank us. People will praise us. No. Who are they going to thank because of our generosity? God. Who is the guy who made us rich? We've been working on a statement throughout the series. We've been adding a little bit to it. And we're talking about the provider. We're talking about what's happened to us. And I would like to ask you if you'd repeat this with me again. Say, God has blessed me with more than I need. I am rich, but I will not trust in riches, but in Him who richly provides. All right, now let's add to it. Because I have more, it's real easy. I will give more. All right, let's say that last part again. Because I have more, I will give more. All right, now I want you to write that down. Write that down in your bulletins, fill in those blanks, because I want you to take that home with you. We want to act rich the way God wants rich people to act. I do. I hope all of us do. Once you realize I'm rich, and the reason I'm rich is it's because of God. We want to act rich in the way that God wants us to act rich. Now, I believe if I were to ask you guys, in fact, I'll go on and ask you guys to do this. How many of you would like to be considered above average? Let me have a showing of hands. All right? That's the American way. If you're not raising your hand, I'm doubting your patronage there. Are you a patriot? Are we Americans? We like to be above average. We like it when we bring home a test grade that's an A or a B because that says we were above average. We enjoy that. You know, and we're above average in a lot of things in our lives. Some of us are above average drivers. Do you know this? Maybe you're one of these. Maybe you're an above average driver. You know, when all the rest of the cars, when they're all doing one speed, your car is passing their cars. Because your speed is above the average speed of the other cars. You're an above average driver. They actually have an award for this kind of above average achievement. It's called a citation. And because you're so special, you're above average, it will be delivered right to your window. It's kind of nice. Oh, well, maybe not so much, but some of you are above average drivers. Some of you are above average workers. Maybe you go in before anyone else is there. Every day you're there before everyone else is there. Or maybe you're the guy that stays late after everyone else has gone home. You're staying late. Or maybe you're so above average, you do both. You're the first one there and you're the last one to leave every day. And where you see people work and they put in effort, you put in more work, you put in more effort, you are an above average worker. And you know that about yourself. Some of you are above average talkers. I wouldn't know anything about that. Some of you are above average shoppers. You know, you know how to get the deals. You know where to find the deals. You know how, when, where to go shopping. The timing's there. And you can get deals. And you don't pay full price for anything. You are an above average shopper. In fact, you're such an above average shopper that you can spend more than you make. You can. You spend your money and the bank's money. That's how above average you are when it comes to shopping. As much as we like to be above average, none of us like to be considered average. Because, well, average is just average. It's just normal. And in fact, if we were to be considered below average in something, as Americans, we would consider that an insult. If someone looked at us and they said, you know, you're below average. Statistically speaking, though, most of us in this room are below average in one particular part in our lives. Statistically speaking, because we are rich, we are below average givers. We are below average givers. In America, of all the people, just taking on all the groups of people, different incomes, different places, Americans give 3.1% to charity. 3.1% is the average that American gives to charity. We're rich. Where's all that money going? 3.1%, that is tragic. That's disturbing. When we hear that's appalling. That is below average. 3.1%. You know what's even more shocking about this? Is that when you take Americans that make $10,000 or less, you know, we looked at the average income of an American. That's about $33,000 to $34,000 a year. That's the average income of an American. We're talking about an American that makes one-third the average. We're talking about people that make under $10,000, people that, if I understand right, that's the poverty line in America. People who are below the poverty line. Do you know what percentage they give on average? 5.2%. 5.2%. To everyone else is 3.1%, or the average of everyone put together. 5.2%. So, statistically speaking, we as rich people, we are below average givers. This passage in 2 Corinthians that we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, We understand that God's purpose in making us rich in every way is so that we can be generous. When I look at that and I compare it to what we observe in our society and what our lives are, and you know where you stand, you know where you are when it comes to your generosity, your giving, I don't think we measure up to what God expects of us as rich people. I don't think we act rich the way that God wants us to act rich. Did God make us rich so that we could consume more, so that we could buy more, so we could have more for ourselves, so we could store up, so we could vacation more, so we could go to other places, so we could have bigger houses, better cars? No. Those things are enjoyable, and I believe that we can enjoy those and still act rich the way God wants us to act rich. But the main reason we were made rich is so that we can be generous. And that's how you act rich, the way God has intended for rich people to act. Now, for a lot of us, we hit this, and it's just like hitting a wall. And we think, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. Because I understand, the scripture's clear. I've been made rich to be generous, but I'm a selfish person. I'm greedy. I'm stingy. I like to buy things for me. When my income goes up a little bit, I don't leave margin. I bump right up against that. I think, well, here's more money to spend on me and to spend in my life. If a lot of us were honest with ourselves, we'd be thinking those things at this point and thinking, this is not going to be an easy change in my life. This is not going to be an easy Sunday for me. But take heart. God's word, God's truth, it takes us and it just takes us by the hand and leads us on. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, just a couple verses before the verse we just read, says that each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? A cheerful giver. God says that if we want to act rich the way that God wants rich people to act, then we're going to have to be conscious about our generosity. It's going to have to be intentional. We're going to have to do it on purpose. It's an intentional decision. If I want to act rich, I'm going to have to become an intentional giver. And that's a discipline that we're all going to have to grab into understanding. It's not something that happens naturally. If you allow yourself to fall naturally into things, you're going to fall naturally into who you are. You're going to fall naturally into being selfish if that's what you've been doing. And you're saying, okay, this Sunday I want to change it all. Well, if you think you're just going to let it happen, you're just going to fall back into that same pattern. If you're naturally greedy, you're going to fall back into that unless you make a conscious decision. I'm going to change something about the way I'm thinking, about the way I'm acting. And that is a conscious decision. That is intentional, to be an intentional giver. And an intentional giver is a cheerful giver, which is good news. Well, one of the beginner level things that we can do, because if you're with me so far, we're asking ourselves now, how can I do that? I want to be an intentional giver. How do I do it? Well, one of the first things that you can do, kind of beginner level, okay, generosity 101, all right? Entry-level stages, one of the first things you can do is you can return to God what belongs to God. Last week I mentioned the tithe, and I told you we'd be talking a little more about the tithe this morning. And that's what I'm talking about here, is returning to God what belongs to God. People will mention giving a tithe, and yes, you are giving it, but you're not giving a gift. You're not giving an offering when you give a tithe. When you give a tithe, you're giving something that already belongs to God, and He's just asked for it back. That's why you're returning it to God. That's why when you give a tithe, you're more bringing a tithe than giving a tithe. But it's entry level, and it's something that I think we can all get a hold of, and we can all take a look at, and it's something that can start that process of learning what it means to be generous and how to cut the chains of selfishness, how to cut the bonds of being greedy. To talk more about this, I've got a video from Craig Groeschel. It involves things that we've shared before here, years past. I've got some links on the website under this sermon series, some links to some past message series that deal with this topic. But I thought it'd be nice to hear it from a different person, and he uses a really neat illustration. So let's take a look at this. So, the tithe, beginner level, understanding that returning to God what belongs to Him. That first 10%, that's His. That belongs to God, and you're just returning it to Him. Let's pick up on some of those things. You guys were watching the video. I'm not too sure if you were taking notes. Just in case you missed it, two of the points that he brought up in the video was that the tithing teaches me to put God first. Tithing teaches me to put God first, and then tithing increases my faith in God. You know, last week we talked about some of us who have a love affair with money, that we are in love with money, and we've got that going on the side, and Jesus told us that you cannot love both God and money. You got to choose one. And last week we were talking about breaking up with that girlfriend. It's time to tell her to hit the road. She's not doing anything good for us. She's just nothing but heartbreak. This is one of the ways where we can start to tell her, hey, look, you don't have a hold on my life anymore. My heart belongs to God, and I'm giving to Him first. Tithing helps to adjust our attitude on money. It helps to set our attitude in the place where it should be by putting God first. Now, some of you have been tithing for years, and tithing's not a big deal for you anymore. We're wanting this morning, we know that we are made rich so that we can be generous, and tithing helps us to understand what generous means. And some of you have been tithing so long that it doesn't really do anything for you anymore when it comes to teaching you about generosity. You've learned how you can give 10% and be greedy with your 90%. You've learned how you can bring in 10%, give that to God, and walk away with a clean conscience and be selfish with all the rest that you've been left with. And that's not teaching you how to be generous. Some of you need to step it up. Some of you need generosity 201. You need the next level of generosity, because we need to keep practicing this. We need to keep working with generosity. Maybe it doesn't take discipline anymore for you to tithe. Well, if that's your need, then you need to step it up. And as we step it up, the second way that we can learn how to be intentional givers is simply to give more and more and more. You have to practice giving. You know, when you look at weightlifters, people who like to lift weights, when they're in there and they get comfortable with one set of weights and they're comfortable with the weight that's on there, they're comfortable with their repetitions and they can do it without a problem, do they just stay there? No, not, especially not if they want to be above average. If they want to be average, maybe they can stay there, but a lot of these people that are doing that, they want to be above average. So what they do is they step their weight up a little bit. They increase their repetitions a little bit. Swimmers who want to become above average swimmers, once they get to where they can swim a certain stroke and a certain length in a certain amount of time, and they're doing it time and time and time again without a problem, what they do is they want to step it up and they say, I want to do this certain stroke in this certain length, but I want to do it in a shorter amount of time. And that's how I'm going to become an above average swimmer. Runners will do the same thing. They'll take a course that they're running, and once they get used to it and they can run it and it's not a problem at all, they're barely sweating, they're hardly breathing hard afterwards. What do? They add more distance to it because they want to be an above average runner. Now for us, we know statistically we are below average givers, statistically. Some of us in here are helping to bring that number up to 3.1 from other people's 0%. But for the most part, most of us, statistically speaking, we're below average givers. If you're an average giver, time to step it up. Give more and more and more, because you have to practice. If you don't practice, you're going to start falling back in to being selfish. You're going to start falling back into being greedy. And these things that we're looking at, these things, being selfish, being greedy, being stingy, these are survival tactics. This is survival mentality. Some of you have actually used that word before when you're talking about your life. You're saying, man, I'm just doing all I can to survive. Am I the only one that's ever said that? I'm just doing all I can to survive. And that's not living. If you've been here, that's not true life. You're imprisoned. You're shackled by this feeling, by this idea that I have to survive. That's selfish. That's greedy. That's animal kingdom. That's not children of God. God's not a God of survival. God is a God of being, of existence, of understanding what true life is about. True life's not about survival. True life's about giving. It's about generosity. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 8:7. It says, but just as you excel in everything, he gives a little list here, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of what? Giving. If we want to excel at giving, we're going to have to practice. We're going to have to give more and more and more. You know, when we're looking into something that we want, typically we'll scheme to get it. Won't we? I mean, some of us, a scheme is just as easy as pulling out the plastic. Right? And that makes it easy, but it's still a scheme. You're still thinking, I want this. How am I going to get it? Plastic. Got it. And there's a certain amount of sacrifice involved in that because you're going to pay more for that than what it was worth, or at least what the sticker said on it, because you're going to pay interest on that. You're probably not going to pay that card back. Now, some of you, you try to be good stewards of your money. And you see something that you want and you exercise patience. And you say, this is something that I want. Maybe it's a Subaru Impreza. That's from last week. If you weren't here, you got to listen to the sermon online. Maybe that's what, maybe you want something and you say, I'm going to set aside $20 or $30 out of every paycheck to get to that goal. Maybe it's something big and you're saying, I need to set aside $100 every paycheck because I want to get to that goal. And I believe that most of us in here have done something like that. And in doing that, what you'll do is you'll find things that you can cut out. You'll say, okay, I don't have an extra $20 or $30, or I don't have an extra $100 a paycheck. What can I cut out to get that $100? What can I get rid of to get that? Maybe I can stop eating here. Maybe I can stop this habit. Or maybe I can get rid of this. Or I could do without this for a few weeks. And you say, and you scheme. We do. We scheme to get that thing that we want. How many of us have ever schemed to give? And that right there, man, that hits me just dead center. So I see this passage, and God says that you've been made rich because I want you to be generous. And I examine my own life, and I know I've schemed to get things. I've schemed with the plastic. I've schemed by saving up. How often have I schemed to be generous? And yet that's the purpose of me being rich. How often have we looked at our paycheck and we've said, all right, I want to set aside this margin because I want to be generous with this. I want it to be free of any commitments in my life so I can be generous with it. You got to practice that. And a way that you can do that, a way you can set that up and start scheming, is that you can become a percentage giver. Become a percentage giver and pre-decide your percentage. That's a great step to be able to start doing this. Say, okay, I want to start the tithe. I want to start giving back to God what belongs to Him. So I'm going to take 10% off the top, first fruits, that belongs to God. And say, maybe you want to be a little more generous. You want to give another 2 or 3% because you want to support some individual ministries that are happening here in this church. Maybe you want to do that. So you take a percentage of that and you place it towards that. Maybe you've got a missionary that's been here at the church and he's touched your heart, or you've gone overseas and you've actually spent time with this missionary and you want to do something to support this missionary. Take a percentage. Say, I want to give another 2 or 3% and I want to put it aside for this missionary. Does that feel generous? I mean, just thinking about it, I think we get little warm fuzzies and we think, man, that feels good. Maybe, what if we took another 10%? And we set it aside in a special savings account. A savings account that we can draw from easily. And that money is set aside as an emergency fund for other people. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be just like God? Wouldn't that be the mentality that God works with, that God uses? That I want to do all that I can to be generous. I want to do all that I can to give. I want to scheme to give. An easy way to set that up is to get started into some of that percentage giving. last week, as I said, we talked about that girlfriend, that love of money that we need to break up with. A lot of us have fallen in love with what's been provided, and instead we need to love the provider. We need to love him who gives to us. And we need to honor him with the riches and the wealth that he has given to us. And that means by being generous. We got to practice that. We got to work at that. You know, I believe if the Satan from last week's video, I believe if he were here, he'd be whispering in your ear right now, just wait till you get that paid off. Wait till you get that credit card paid off, then you can start all this stuff he's talking about. I know it sounds good, but just wait to get that paid off. You got a mortgage hanging over your head. You need to take care of that first, get that paid off, and then you can do what God wants you to do. Then you can do what God, then you can develop this generous attitude. You got student loans. You need to get those taken care of. That's good stewardship to get your debt taken care of. You need to take care of that. I believe Satan's whispering things like that in many ears this morning. I believe if you shut Satan out and you just listen to God, God doesn't say give when. God just says give. God says be generous. God says follow my example and show grace and love and do it through generosity. Say this again with me. God has blessed me with more than I need. I am rich. But I will not trust in riches, but in him who richly provides. Because I have more, I will give more.